And that was Rosie and Richie, the headliners for this year's Alaska Folk Festival, Rosie Newton and Richie Stearns. One of the things that we should tell you, though, before we introduce them to you, is that they were supposed to be here at the Alaska Folk Festival last year when it shut down after the pandemic. It's a good thing that they took a rain check and they're going to be the headliners for the virtual version of the festival. And you can watch their performance this Sunday night, April 11th at 8 p.m. on KTOO 360 TV. And you can also listen on KRNN. And of course, both of these venues stream online. So you've got lots of ways to enjoy this. And to help us get an appreciation of their music, Richie and Rosie join us right now. So, Richie, we'll start with you. Where are you talking to us from today?
Well, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, actually, in a great big yellow house on top of the highest hill in Nashville.
Well, these days in the Nashville area, it gets warmer early, so I wouldn't be surprised if you're seeing some green grass right now.
Man, it's so beautiful. If you're looking, I'll just put you by the window here so you can see how beautiful it is.
Well, we
in that very window every morning, there's a cardinal that taps on the window with its beak. And then as the sun moves around the house, it moves over to the next window over here. And it just goes all the way around the house. We follow that cardinal around.
Well, I guess our radio listeners will just have to go by your description, but I can see the greenery. Wow. It almost looks like an Alaska summer there. Well, Rosie, you're at home in Ithaca, and what's it like for you right now? Are you in the middle of winter like the rest of us in Alaska, or are you seeing signs of spring?
We're about halfway in between you guys. It's just started to get pretty warm. And so that's been really nice, but we still don't have leaves on the trees yet. So we have the daffodils are just coming out, and that's about what we've got here. So,
well, if you were here, you would be having yo-yo weather between rain and snow. It hasn't made up its mind here, but I was going to ask about the two of you because you're separated in age as a duo by quite a number of years. And to me, that's unusual because usually people that play in groups tend to be in the same age group. How does that work?
Well, it just seemed to happen. I think
I choose the tempos.
He chooses the slow tempos. I mean, I think, music, especially old time music, and a lot of other traditional styles of music are kind of ageless. And it's a nice way to communicate with people of different ages. And a lot of times you happen to play music with people the same age as you, but Richie and I have a musical connection that spans the years, as they say.
Yeah, transcends.
Well, that's kind of the thing about folk music and bluegrass is that you see many generations coming together, usually with the older generations passing on the songs, the techniques. So I think that's
don't
what
say
makes,
passing
makes
it on.
Special.
That for some reason that gives me a little chill.
Transferring. Do you like that word better? But, there's so much going on in folk music and bluegrass. And I know one of the things that endears you to your fans, aside from your technique on the banjo and the fiddle, is that your harmonies are truly just hand-in-glove harmonies. And I want to play a little clip from your song Nowhere in Time, the chorus. So let's listen for just a second.
Part of you.
just beautiful there. How do you guys get those kind of harmonies? They almost sound like family harmonies, and you're not related.
Mm-hmm. No, we've been playing music for about 12 years together, and both of us come from this old-time music tradition where people spend a lot of time together singing, you know, and Rosie is an incredible harmony singer as well as a lead singer, and she knows how to make great harmonies, and we were lucky enough to find each other and to do this together and to also to be able to record with an incredibly wonderful engineer, Alex Perialis, for that record, and he knew how to mix our voices too, you know, so that you can hear both what we're doing. And Rosie's an incredible inspiration for me. She's definitely taken me up a whole level of trying to learn to express myself through harmonies.
That's nice.
So Rosie, tell us a little bit about this new album that you've recorded, Nowhere in Time. You know, we've listened to a couple of cuts on that already, but what's the concept behind this new recording?
Well, I would say the concept. Part of the beauty of the music and feelings that Richie and I come up with are that most of them are not planned beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I would say there wasn't much of a concept to start with. We went into the recording studio and had a fair amount of songs that we wanted to record, but hadn't played many of them live very much. And so it was a very creative experience in trying to, you know, make a cohesive, a beautiful recording and kind of just ride that river, you know, do it as it came. And I think, you know, both Richie and I have a strong suit in doing that as a duo. We're good at reading each other and playing off each other in the moment. And so I think the recording represents that well, because we were doing so much, I wouldn't even say improv, but just kind of in the moment music for the recording. And so anyway, so long story short, the Nowhere in Time comes from a song that Richie had written. And we were really inspired by that particular song. And so that kind of flourished into the title and everything else was history from there.
Yeah. And Rosie's father, who's an artist, made the cover for that. And the picture that we chose to use for the cover of that album really, for me, reflects that sort of feeling that we have together when we play music, which is, it's this image, it's kind of a dark image of two human figures in sort of a mixed up world. And it's just like a very beautiful analogy for what I think we try to do is, you know, we're just moving through the world trying to do what we love to do the most and, you know, make sense out of it as we go.
Well, I guess it's been kind of hard doing what you love to do in this time of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
It has.
Yeah.
So what have the two of you been doing to get through this? Working on some new projects?
Wow, that's a good question. For me, I'm trying to learn new things in music alone, at home a lot. I'm dabbling with other instruments that I'm not very good at, but that I really enjoy, and they're inspiring me to try to write songs in different feeling songs, you know. And Rosie and I haven't really gotten to see that much of each other in the last year, even though we're like just a few miles apart. We haven't been able to be live together because that's just not the way things are right now. And you know, Rosie has a new baby, and it's been a wonderful thing to see her little baby growing up from 40 feet across the yard. you know, I'm trying to find inspiration in this whole thing myself. Just stay present, and hopefully we'll get back to doing what we love to do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your concert that's coming up on Sunday. It's a video, but it's also a performance, and I know a lot of thought went into developing this. Can you tell us how you're trying to make it feel like a concert?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we recorded it in a new music studio that my husband and I have been working on our property here in Ithaca over this past year. And so that was very exciting to have a chance to play in that space, which will eventually be a small concert space as well as the music studio, recording studio. Our friend Tom Kruger helped us out a lot with the video, did beautiful backdrop and really kind of set the stage for a very relaxed evening of music. And so Richie and I were able to basically pretend that we were performing for Tom and a few other people who were in the room. And it felt really good. We did two takes of each song, and so it was very quick and live and felt fresh. We hadn't played together in a little while, but it all comes back very quickly. And so it really felt like a show, because we didn't repeat each song 10 times as you would in a music video, and we were able to talk in between and just be relaxed, which is really nice how we like to perform.
So you were riding the river.
We were riding the river. Yes, exactly.
How'd you feel about it, Richie?
Oh, I thought it was a really splendid evening. We were working very hard to get the whole studio, presentable for video. It was a new structure, an old structure that had been turned into a new structure. And so we spent a lot of the day just setting it up and putting things that we liked in the visual site, trying to set things up with lighting and candles. And since we didn't get to do that so much this whole last year, there was a lot of excitement about, finally getting to do something where we knew we were going to be able to reach out to people again. And, I'm looking forward to actually seeing the video. I haven't seen it since we did it. And I want to get the feeling like I'm there, and I want to feel the feeling of the people that are watching it, because I miss that so much. I miss that interaction. Like,
yes,
I feel like that whole thing that we do with music, I just took it for granted that we'd always be able to express ourselves in front of people and mm-hmm. get the joy and share the joy that we feel with everyone. And we really got to do it that day.
Well, people can stream this, so you will be able to watch it.
Yeah, you gotta watch it.
It'll be later, because you guys are on East Coast time or Mountain time, yeah. I guess, if you're in Nashville, Richie. I hear you're visiting friends and family there. One thing I did want to ask you about, as I was looking through material on the web about the two of you, is that both of you were raised by cello players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cello players that had the same birthday.
Yep.
Boy, that just sounds almost cosmic, that the two of you would come
Amen.
Together. But what kind of influence did being raised by cello players have on the direction that you went with music, which is kind of Americana, bluegrass, folk?
Mm-hmm.
You take that.
I think for me, it was, my mother plays Celtic music and a bit of old-time music on the cello, so there's a direct influence on the kind of music that I play. But I think even deeper than that, I feel like the my love for lower tones is more of something that I've come away from. And maybe Richie has that too. It's kind of it's almost something that I don't realize until someone asked me if I play the viola. You know, my fiddle is just a fiddle at this point, but it's a very dark and deep instrument. And so I think in general, I'm drawn to those lower, low tones and richer sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my mother was not a professional cello player in her later years when I was born, but she still played it when she got a moment, which was very rare. She would play these beautiful, dark, sad sounding songs, and it completely influenced the way I write. And I think both of our mothers, from my perspective, were very deep people. They're very, I mean, Rosie's mom is still a very deep person. My mom's gone. But, you know, just having that kind of influence in your family that like makes you want to carry it on, you know, like you want to be a part of your parents' lives.
But let me ask you this. I would say that the banjo is a far cry from being a cousin to the cello. I mean, they're very different instruments with very different moods. So what made you gravitate towards banjo?
Oh, well, I was just talking to Jeb last night when we were doing our concert. Jeb and I did a little show last night, my friend Jeb, who I'm down here with, Jeb Pruier. And what we were talking about online yesterday was that 50 years ago this year, Jeb and I went to our first fiddle festival together in Union Grove, North Carolina, on our way to this house to celebrate Easter. And that's mm-hmm. when we saw this kind of music really for the first time live. And it changed my life. I saw people playing, you know, banjos and fiddles. And I went home and built a banjo in elementary school and started learning to play it in junior high school. So,
but
and then I quit junior high school.
but you play the clawhammer banjo, which I don't know what that is. Can you explain what's the difference?
Sure. Yeah, clawhammer banjo is, it's really the most closely related to where the banjo came from, which it's an African instrument in origin. And the technique of clawhammer is directly related to the way African people played the instrument that they had in their own world before they were stolen and brought to this world.
And was that the Ngoni?
Ngoni, mm-hmm. Yep, was one.
There's
and if you watch a traditional Ngoni player's right hand when they're playing, you'll see that they're playing clawhammer.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so interesting. I do have to ask you, Richie, because I was curious that you've hung out with some pretty impressive musicians over your life, Bella Fleck and Pete Seeger, of course, who was a mm-hmm. banjo player. Did he inspire some of your techniques?
Absolutely, he did. And when I was very first learning to play banjo, when I took my first lessons, both of the first teachers that I had gave me the homework to get Pete Seeger's little red banjo book on how to play the banjo. And I started listening to him when I was a kid. And absolutely, he influenced me, as not only with his music, but his, you know, his social action, you know, his political action for people, you know, like Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger, and you know, and I believe Rosie can tell you also about the influences she got from Pete.
Yeah, I grew up playing with a band called the Mammals, who Tao Seeger was in, who's Pete Seeger's grandson, and I was a little younger than them, but they were like my older siblings. And so Pete was around a fair amount, and we got to, you know, I slept at his house, you know, in a van at one point, and woke up to him cutting wood at 6 a.m, which is, you know, as the legend goes that he did, and he actually did that. So, you know, he definitely was quite the character. So,
you know, I think of all those great Pete Seeger songs and sort of associate them with the 60s, the civil rights movement, peace protests, Blowing in the Wind was, of course, a song that Bob Dylan composed, but they were all part of this backdrop, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, If I Had a Hammer. And I wondered, so much is going on right now. I think we're in a similar time with a real emphasis on social justice, trying to address climate change, which wasn't so much an issue back then. But I keep waiting for this big movement of music to happen. Is it happening? And maybe I'm just not aware of it. Do you think we're going to see a big movement with some amazing songs come out of what's going on right now?
Absolutely. It is happening. It's just not, it's not on CBS or NBC, you know, but it's happening. And one thing that Rosie and I got to do together was to march with Pete down from Northern Manhattan down into, I don't remember what park we went to there, but we were, we were joining the Occupy Wall Street movement. And we got to march with Pete down to that and sit on the steps and play with Pete and David Amram and, you know, a lot of the beautiful folk musicians that have been leading the charge in social change for so many years, you know. It's part of our tradition as well, and sometimes we forget about that connection, but it's really what brings the meaning to what we do a lot of times. So, you know, we go out and do a lot of concerts for commerce to make our living and stuff, but it's rooted in the struggle with people and the people relating to each other and loving each other and caring for each other and suffering together, you know. That's where the music comes out of.
Well, we've got just about a minute left, and I just want to let people know that you are doing workshops on Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 10:30. Real quick, tell us what you're going to try to offer folks.
Well, I think I'm very excited to be teaching, and I'll teach a tune and hope that people can play along in their own homes and just talk about the, you know, what, where my music comes from and my influences and some of the bowing, which I, and the rhythm, which I feel like is crucial to the music that we play. I might even have people tune their fiddles differently. We'll see how everyone feels about that. So I'm excited to see some folks up there in Alaska from my home.
So Richie, you going to teach some Pete Seeger tricks?
Probably not, because I'm not really that good at what he did. I mean, I'm very much influenced by his music, but he had his own special way of doing things. And I guess my particular strength in clawhammer comes from the way I learned to play. And it has a lot to do with the limitations that I was facing in some respects. But, you know, the people that were around me when I was learning to play influenced how I play old time music. And it's rooted in a tradition, but it's also a little bit different. It's a little bit out there. It's definitely rhythm related. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. I've got two banjos here with me. One's fretted and one is a fretless banjo that I started making when I was 14 that I just finally finished. So I'm going to try to play a little bit on a fretless and a little bit on a fretted, and maybe also explore some different tunings.
Well, I want to thank both of you for visiting with us. Wonderful to have you, Richie Stearns and Rosie Newton, guest artists for this year's Folk Festival. Thanks for being with us and kind of giving us a preview of your performance on Sunday, April 11th at 8 p.m. on KTOO 360 TV and KRNN simulcast. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you here.